most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I am your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show is about informative entertainment, and it's done in a fun, upbeat, improv style, of course. You know me, I'm all about the improv. And we're going to provide you with tips, advice, and resource information how to pursue a career in show business. And we're going to have guests that work in various professions of the entertainment industry. So that means that we will definitely have somebody from a career that you're interested one way or another, they're going to be on the show. So if you want to know who's going to be on the show in the future, you can also visit our official Question Reality website directly. And that address is questionreality.us, not .com.us, questionreality.us. If you want to check out any of our past guests, read their bios, and listen or download any of the shows, then if you're on the website right now, the LA Talk Radio website right now, if you look at the top of the website on the left-hand side, you'll see something that says Schedule 1. So you click on the Schedule 1 link at the top. I think it says Schedule 1. I have to check that, but I'm pretty sure. Schedule 1 link at the top of the LA Talk Radio website. Look for our show, Question Reality, in the time slot of Sunday at 5, and then you just click on the link. And that'll take you directly to our archive page, and you can basically peruse at your own leisure, check out all of our past guests, and then you can download the show directly to your computer, or if you hit the play button, you can just listen live and it doesn't download it to your computer. You can also check us out on iTunes. We're under the podcast section, and you can hear any of our shows on iTunes and download us there as well. So now we would love to have you call in and ask questions or provide comments for the guest on the show. But we ask that you call in maybe about 5:20, 5:30, just to give the guest time to acclimate to the show. And when you call in, by the way, we take your calls directly. You don't have to go through a screening process. When you call in, I'm going to answer, and then I'll patch you in, and we can have a little love fest going on. So the call-in number should be right in front of you if you're looking at the homepage of the LA Talk Radio website. But just in case, the number is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And that's for you little texters out there who can text really, really fast and talk and darn and knit and eat and have all kinds of love interludes while you're on the phone, which I cannot do. But that is the number for you. And we have a fantastic guest for you today. His name is Daniel Gray. You're going to love talking to him. He has such wonderful, incredible experiences to share with us today. But first, I need to do some topics, some exciting events. We have exciting events to tell you about every week, but this one I think is really, really good. A lot of people have been emailing in and saying there are a lot of people who are fans of the show are writers, of course, and actors and various other people, but I've been getting a lot of emails from writers saying, are you going to have anybody on the show that can really give us some information about doing pitches for the studios? So I said, yes, that is planned for next year. But I came up with, I found this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful event that's coming up. It's called Tube Filter Web Television Panel. Again, get a pen because I'm going to be giving you a lot of information. You better get a pen and paper now. It's called Tube, T-U-B-E, Filter, F-I-L-T-E-R, Web Television Panel. And this is happening on December the 15th. And here's what it's about. The discussion topic is entitled, of course, exactly what they want. Going pro, seducing the studios. Going pro, seducing the studios. As many of you know, a producer basically dreams. I mean, what producer doesn't dream of scoring a studio deal, right? But what's it really like when the studios get involved? People have these dreams and fantasies, and they think it's going to be like this, but you don't really know what it's like until you actually start pitching to the studios or when they actually get involved. Some people are like, oh my God, I wish it never would have happened. Just like being a musician, you think, oh, I want to get signed with this record label. I want to get signed with this record label. And then you do, and then your world comes crashing down. Some people can acclimate, some people can't. So, again, some of you just don't know what's going to happen because you may not be at the level of your career yet to deal with the studios. But if you want to at least have an idea of what goes on and get some tips on how to handle the situation when you get there, hopefully you will, then this is the seminar that you want to go to. You'll really get the inside scoop on this. Now, this seminar, what they're going to have panelists from Big Fantastic, Sony Pictures Television, and The Bannon Way. So, again, Sony Pictures Television, Big Fantastic, and The Bannon Way. So, why don't you give yourself the gift this year? Treat yourself, give yourself the gift of knowledge, right? And you give yourself the gift and learn how to pitch to the movie studios by attending the seminar. I think it's a fantastic gift to give yourself. Now, the date, again, it's December the 15th. And the panel discussion goes on promptly at 7:30 p.m. Panel discussion, you don't want to miss that at 7:30. And then the fun part is the mixer. The mixer is at 8:45. And again, you'll get to meet producers and studio executives from Sony Pictures Television, Big Fantastic, and The Bannon Way. And the cost, oh my gosh, you wait till you hear the cost, only $10. Only $10. I mean, who can't afford $10 for their career, right? Now, the website address is kind of weird. It's really long. So I'm going to give it to you, but if you need it again, feel free to email me and I'll forward that to you. But here it is. It is news, N-E-W-S dot tubefilter, T-U-B-E-F-I-L-T-E-R dot TV / Hollywood hyphen web, W-E-B, hyphen television, the word written out, television, hyphen meetup. Again, news.tubefilter.tv / Hollywood hyphen web hyphen television hyphen meetup. And again, if you didn't get that, email me and I'll send it to you. Now, if you listen to our show on a regular basis, you will hear me promote Screenplay Lab. And that's because it is such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful tool for a person pursuing a career in the entertainment business because it consists of more than 3,900 writers, producers, actors, directors, representation, and executives all helping each other to try and succeed in television and film. So if you want to sign up for the free newsletter, which I highly recommend, you will get all of these upcoming Hollywood events. And it's just a really, really good source of information. Robin Rowe is the creator of Screenplay Lab, and he's like the heartbeat of the entertainment business here in Hollywood. So again, to join, send an email to info@screenplaylab.com, screenplaylab.com, with the subject subscribe. Then the last event that we're going to talk to you, and an excellent opportunity to meet him, is his birthday. Robin Rowe of Screenplay Lab is having a mixer. He has these every month, by the way. This one is going to be on his birthday, which is Thursday, December the 17th, and it's going to be at the Sidebar Restaurant Bar, which is Wolfgang Puck's restaurant. I'm sure you're familiar with that. People in the entertainment business hang out there to catch a glimpse of the stars. It's located in the Regency Beverly Wilshire Hotel, the Regency Beverly Wilshire Hotel. That's where Pretty Woman was shot, just for you little trivia people. The address is 9500 Wilshire Boulevard at Rodeo Drive. 9500 Wilshire Boulevard, right on Rodeo Drive. Again, the address, I mean, the information is Thursday, December 17th, and you can drop by between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. There's no cover charge at all. For all you poor people, all of us poor people, put me in there. No cover charge for all you people who do not want to pay a cover charge, because even if you have money, who wants to pay a cover charge? However, there it's cocktail attire. You do have to look kind of, you do have to put on your best threads to go there. And the drinks start at $6, so in case you're interested. You have to RSVP online so that you're on the guest list. So to RSVP online, go to screenplaylab.com, screenplaylab.com. And very exciting, Bruce Willis stopped by to check them out last month at the Screenplay Lab Mixer. And then also they David Geffen was there the month before. So there's no telling who will be around this month when you go. So I highly, highly, highly recommend that you go. So that's it for all of the events that I have for you until next week. Now, back to our guest. Now, this week our guest is Daniel Gray. Now, Daniel is a singer-songwriter, and he's a singer-songwriter who's chosen to use his experiences as a never-ending source of determination, perseverance, and dedication to his carefully craft his music. I have a piece of gum in my mouth, which I shouldn't, and I think I just swallowed it just to let everybody know. So anyway, Daniel is he's a four. Now, what's interesting about him is, among many things, I'm sure, but he is a former New Orleans resident, and Daniel had to relocate during the destruction of Hurricane Katrina. So he basically watches everything that he had was destroyed. But you know what? Not even the harsh winds or that pouring rain could take away what Daniel had, and that was definitely a talent for music. So he, thank God, he went on and he used this event in his life as a source of inspiration to begin working on his first album, which is titled Inviticus, appropriately so, which is Latin, and of course that means unconquerable. And his new album is, it's categorized in the genre of dance pop, like dance pop, and very exciting for him. It was produced by multi-platinum producer and engineer Mark Barry, and the album ranges from high energy songs. Some of the examples are entitled Lost and Found, Automatic, and Bombastic. I love that word, bombastic. I don't use that enough, but I think I'm going to incorporate that into my vocabulary next week. To thought-provoking ballads such as Castaway. Castaway, which it's a reflection of the emotion and sorrow New Orleans residents experienced with Hurricane Katrina. And I'm very, very, very happy and proud to say that we are going to listen to that song today at some point during the interview. And I'm not going to tell you when, so you're going to have to listen to the entire interview and sit on the edge of your seat. Now, if you want to check him out while you're listening to the show, go to his website, and his website address is danielgrayworld.com, exactly like it sounds, danielgrayworld.com, danielgrayworld.com. So, without further ado, with all this talking, he's probably thinking, oh God, I'm sleeping by now. I need to take a pill to get me up. Oh my God, Daniel, are you on the line? Are you sleeping? Did I put you to sleep, honey?
You didn't put me to sleep at all. I was actually taking notes of all of the great events and information.
Well, good. You're going to have to fly out here and come to one of the mixers, because it's all happening out here. Where are you? You're in the city of brotherly love, am I correct?
Yes, I'm in Philadelphia.
You know what? My husband and I went on vacation. Actually, we went to our original vacation was in Sterling, Virginia, and we just decided we're going to New York and get a pretzel. So we drove all the way to New York, and upon the way, I said, I want to stop in Philadelphia. I think it was Philadelphia. I don't know where it was, but it was where the Liberty Bell is. Oh, my God. Isn't that Philadelphia?
That is Philadelphia.
Hot damn, I was in Philadelphia. It's a dark, hazy period with lots of drugs involved. I'm not sure where it was. Anyway, so we're in Philadelphia. I'm kidding. I never took drugs. There was a damn thing called a duck tour. I said, what the hell is a duck tour? And I said, let's take it. We went on it. It was December. And we were on this. We thought it was a double-decker bus. There wasn't a top. And it was a bus. And we're driving around Philadelphia. All of a sudden, we're heading towards the water. I said, wow, it's getting really cold. Where the hell are we going? Next thing you know, the damn bus is driving into the river. I was screaming bloody murder. I thought the guy was killing us. I said, what the hell is? He said, well, it's a duck tour. You're going in the water like you were a duck. And then he gave us quackers and we had to quack on the quacker. I said, I don't know if I'm coming back to Philadelphia. There's some crazy ass people going on in here. Are you familiar with that duck tour?
I have been on the duck tour. I went when I got up here.
It was fun in retrospect. However, it was cold as a son of a bitch on that duck tour in December. And they didn't give us any blankets. And everybody's freezing. And the wind's blowing. And you couldn't even look at anything because you were just freezing. Especially living in California, right? You're not used to it. But Philadelphia is very, very cold. Especially on the duck tour.
It's freezing.
I know. I bet it is now, huh?
I'm a southern boy, so it is very, very cold to me.
That is right. You are a southern boy. You are, as we said earlier, you are from, now are you from, like, born and bred in New Orleans?
New Orleans.
Wow.
Yes, I am born and bred in New Orleans, Louisiana. It's my hometown. It will always be my hometown. I love it so much.
I don't know if this is a hard subject for you to talk about. If it isn't, can you share with us from, you know, in inception to end, your experience with Hurricane Katrina? And you don't have, let's not start out with it, but I want you to think about it. And then if you feel like sharing, by all means share. But what I've gotten as email questions for you are, when did you and how did you know you first wanted to be a singer-songwriter?
I first knew that I wanted to be a singer-songwriter when I saw Prince on television doing When Doves Cry, and I thought it was the most awesome thing I've ever seen, and I said, I need to do that. And
now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're only 22. You weren't even born when he did that, were you?
No. But I saw it. Saw it on MTV, and
So you weren't there. You weren't around yet for the, oh, God, I saw it live back in 1984 when he did it, and I know exactly what you're talking about. It was not. Hello?
No, it was.
Oh, my goodness, we're having you. You know what? We are actually not hearing you, which is one of the problems that we talk to people on cell phones that happen. So I don't know if you're still there or not, but we're not actually getting you.
I'm right here.
Oh, there you go, sweetie. Okay. Yeah, with the cell phones, you cut in and out, so that's going to happen periodically. So tell me, so you saw Prince, and what was going through your mind? What happened to you?
When I saw Prince, I just thought it was the most magical, amazing experience I've ever seen. I thought it was the greatest thing, and I looked at my mom and I said, "Mom, I want to do that." She actually go to it.
What did she say? What did she say?
Do it. My mom is very supportive of whatever her kids would like to do. Good. And so then she just helped me get my stuff started. She put me in acting classes, piano lessons, local theater. She's very supportive.
Oh, you were so lucky. Most kids who tell their parents they want to be a musician, their parents are like, okay, it's off to boarding school for you. But you're very lucky, very lucky. And you're just, boy, you are lucky. So
as long as I kept my grades good in school, she didn't mind.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a fair thing for parents to do as long as you keep your grades up. I mean, why not, for God's sake? So, obviously, he was one of your musical influences. Who else were some of your musical influences growing up?
Oh, I have so many. I love Prince, David Bowie. I get a lot of flack for this one. But I'm a huge, huge Britney Spears fan. I love her.
I love her, too!
I love her a lot because I'm from New Orleans, and I knew that all the quote-unquote famous musicians or successful musicians from New Orleans were more jazz, and I love pop music. And I was always like, since I'm from New Orleans, I have to do jazz. And then Britney came out, and she's from Louisiana, and she was like my pop idol from my hometown, and I just fell in love.
Wow. Yeah, she really paved the way saying, hey, just because I come from the South doesn't mean I can't, make it as a pop dance queen for sure. Absolutely.
Exactly.
A lot of people from the South are doing that. I can't think of anybody offhand, but I know there's been a couple other ones that have done that. And I think from Louisiana for sure. Can't think of who they are now. But do you know who they are, who I'm talking about?
I know that there are a lot of people now from the South doing, that are doing a lot of things. Lil Wayne is from New Orleans.
Oh, now I didn't know that.
And I'm not a hip hop fan, but for some reason I like Lil Wayne. I think he's interesting, and I think that's important. You have to be interesting.
Absolutely.
And who else is from New Orleans? There's so many people.
There's so many people.
Ellen
DeGeneres?
Ellen's from New Orleans?
Ellen DeGeneres?
Yes.
Oh, I love her. She's my favorite comedian of all time. I love this one. I'm very excited. She's going to be the new judge on Idol.
Oh, me too. And I love Idol.
I know. And I think that the rumors are true. I was watching TMZ, and when I first heard that Paula, God bless her heart, they said she got drunk and put on Twitter she was quitting. I said, oh, God, Paula, what'd you do now? You are good at, with all that money, what the hell's wrong with you, girl? And I thought it was publicity hype because they were saying that it's just hype because the show's ratings are kind of lapping.
Right.
But sure enough, when they just introduced it, I was watching the commercial the other day. Sure enough, Ellen introduces herself as the new judge, and then they're going to have a lot of celebrity guest judges. But now they're going to, poor Paula's out of a job, but I think she's going to go on a show called So You Think You Can Dance. And I'm like, I don't care where she is. I love Paula Abdul. I think she is
wild. She's amazing.
I love her.
Amazing.
Did you see any of her younger stuff back in the day when in the 80s when she did the Straight Up Now Tell Me, Do You Think You Gonna Know?
That's my favorite.
Oh, my God.
I love Straight Up. And I love Hush Hush.
Yes! Yes!
Rush, Rush.
Yes!
Hurry, Hurry, Baby, Come to Me.
She was so talented. I mean, she is so talented. I mean, even when, I don't know if you watched American Idol, when she actually did a song last year, she had another song come out, and she was up there, she was doing her thing, and I'm like, yes, girl! She still got this.
Dance Like There's No Tomorrow. It was awesome.
Yeah! I loved it. I was like, oh, I'm so happy. I love to see when people have comebacks. I love it, because you have to, in this business, as you have to constantly reinvent yourself. You really do.
Yes.
I mean, you're lucky. You're 22, so you don't have to reinvent yourself for another 10 years. But be thinking about it. Be planning your reinvention, because you got to make it happen for sure.
Always.
So
always.
So let's
always
take it back.
The next step.
Absolutely, absolutely. You always got to be two steps ahead of them. So you decide that you love Prince. Do you go on this Prince kick where you have to sing all of his songs and drive your whole family crazy, or what?
No, I never sang all of Prince's songs. I used to, because I was younger, my dad thought he was a little too controversial for me to listen to all of his music. So I didn't know all of the bad Prince. I knew Doves Cry, and I knew Purple Rain, mm-hmm. And I would sing them, but like I said, my big idol was Britney Spears, and I drove my whole family crazy. Up and down my house, and the Backstreet Boys, and I sang them all day long.
Oh yeah, oh, love the Backstreet Boys. Woo! You know what? A lot of people. I don't know how you feel about this, but I get really upset when people bash boy bands, because I'm telling you one thing: if you ever watch these bands and you really think about it with an open mind, these bands, these boy bands and girl bands, but let's talk boy bands, they work really hard. These people have to sing, dance, and perform all at the same time. And they rehearse and work for hours, 17, sometimes 18, 20 hours a day.
Exactly.
And I hate when people just blow them off like they're just some bubblegum pop group and they really aren't significant and they're not relevant. These people work hard. They work a lot harder than, you know, I know I'm going to get a lot of emails for this, but they certainly work a little bit, I'll say a little bit harder than the person who just decides to go into the coffee shop with his guitar and just sit there and sing a song. Yes, it took a lot of effort to write the song, but I think it's a little bit harder when you have to rehearse 17 hours a day and you're getting pressured by the people behind you to perform. And I think that boy bands should get a little bit more credit and not be bashed as much as they do. What do you think?
I agree because I know for me, when I perform with dancers, and I like to put on a big show. So, you know, we have to organize the dancers and the lights and the costumes and the special effects and the fog machines. And it's a lot of work that goes into it.
Right.
And I know a lot of people think that it's all just flash, but I think it makes for a very theatrical, you know, memorable experience. And
exactly.
Whenever I do a show, I always like to think of it as it's for my audience. I want them to be entertained.
Right.
I want to convey the feeling and the lyrics and make them dance, because that's what my music, that's what I write for. I like to uplift people, and I love to dance, and I love to see people dancing.
Well,
that's
speaking,
what I always like to do.
You're absolutely right. And I mean, who the hell goes to, I mean, this is my thought, and again, don't send me any emails, because every time I say something, I get an email, but I'm going to just say it anyway. I would rather go and pay a lot of money to go to a show like you're doing, rather than to go to Catalina Bar and Grill, which is a jazz place out here, and you go and you pay a lot of money, and then you sit there and you have to be so quiet while the musician is like playing his instrument, and you're afraid to talk, and you don't know, personally, you don't know when to clap, when they're doing their solo, when you're not clap, and then you clap inappropriately, and it makes me a nervous wreck. And I don't want to see somebody sitting there and just playing an instrument and just sitting there. I want you to be whipping those limbs around. I want sweat to be breaking out of every orifice that you have. I want to see your balls sweat, because I want my money's worth. And you know, you're an entertainer, so entertain me, for God's sake. So
exactly.
You know, those shows that you do, that's what it's all about for me, and I'm sure a lot of other people too. Speaking of which, now I know that you recently made your first album, which congratulations, that must be so exciting.
Thank you very much.
And is it titled Invictus? Am I pronouncing that right? Invictus, which means, as you said, unconquerable. And why don't you take us through that? Back to the original question, was that came out out of, I imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, that came out, some of the songs came out of your experience from living in Louisiana and experience with Hurricane Katrina. Can you take us back to that time, what it was like, what, take us through that experience and how you came out of that with your new album, and what was your experience like making your first album, having that as the catalyst for your album?
Well, to start off, all of the songs on the album are based off of New Orleans and memories I had of growing up in New Orleans. And for me, I wanted it to be sort of, I wanted it to be a very happy album, because growing up in New Orleans was the greatest. I had a great childhood. I had great friends, amazing family. So I wanted to sort of pay homage to New Orleans and my childhood and growing up, and just, you know, relive all the positiveness from my childhood. Katrina was an unfortunate event, and it was, you know, it was very, for me, emotional, especially the aftermath. When you're watching it on TV, it's a little surreal. Because we weren't there, so we were just watching the news. And I distinctly remember my mother, you know, they said, you know, on the news they were talking about our neighborhood was flooded. And then I distinctly remember my mother, she was saying, well, that can't be, you know, that's not my house. And I was thinking the same thing, like that can't be our house. And then actually going back, and then it's real. It like this really happened, and our house is gone. It really brought up a lot of emotions, which are in Castaway, and I didn't know what I wanted to write about when I was doing the album, and I was just sort of sitting and writing through all these emotions, and my family, we always try to look on the positive side of everything, and my grandmother, it was a big inspiration for this record. Rest in peace, grandmother. I love you. She always smiled. Always had a smile on her face. She's always full of love, and you know, she always told us, "Don't focus on the negative. Everything has a bright side." So, for me, I didn't want to make this record something where people could sit and mope and be sad about. I wanted it to be a reflection of, you know, just so much positive energy and the happy things. So this happened to us and my family and to a lot of other families in New Orleans. It brought us together. And I think that's something that can be taken away from it. And that's what I wanted to reflect on the album.
Okay. So all of the songs are directly as a result of your experience with Hurricane Katrina and your
not
experiences,
just hurricane,
right?
Yeah, just growing up, just memories, okay. Different memories.
Okay. Now, what is so great? I'm from the East Coast. I'm from New England, and what is now, a lot of people are really, 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 they're passionate about being from New Orleans. Now, why don't you tell us what is so great about being from New Orleans? Why is that such
everything.
A great place? Tell me about it.
Everything. It has culture. Huh? Well, first, the food. The food
yes.
is unlike any other.
Uh-huh.
I've been to New Orleans-style restaurants in other places, and it doesn't have that soul, in it. And I mean, it's good. It's great. Don't get me wrong. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
But just like being from New Orleans, it's like a big, small city, because if you know someone, you will know five other people who know this person.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of everyone sort of knows everyone, and it's very community and together. And this whole Twilight phenomenon, everything, the whole vampire.
Yep.
I mean, New Orleans, we have that in the French Quarter.
Of course. I know you got some people. I don't even want to think about it because I'm afraid that a psychic link may hook me up with somebody in New Orleans, but I know New Orleans is great, but I talk to everyone and I just never get tired of hearing how passionate people are who come from New Orleans. And I unfortunately have never ever been to New Orleans, and it is a dream of mine.
It's a dream,
and I really want to go. I really have to go. I wish that I would have gone before Hurricane Katrina, because I hear that so many things were destroyed, and that a lot of people who've gone back says that, who are visitors who never lived there, of course, I don't know if you feel the same, but they say that it doesn't have the same feeling for them, and they used to go there for vacation every year. So how do you feel about that? Do you think that it still has the same feeling as it did? Because a lot of the old buildings were destroyed. What are they doing now down there to bring it back, bring that feeling back?
Well, I would have to say for me, it's different than for a visitor, because for me, it's more about the soul of the city than the actual places. And for me, I can go home. And I can feel at home because my family is there, and it's not. I can definitely say it's not the same place, but for me, it will always be home, and it still has that warm feeling whenever I step out the car, step off the plane, and go to New Orleans. I get that home feeling, and for me, that will and always will be the same.
Well,
it isn't always will be.
Well, you being from there, it's really good to hear that you're just so passionate about it. And I hope that maybe one day you return to your home roots and you're just as happy as you were before. Now, let me ask you, you're living in New Orleans. I mean, you're living in Philadelphia now, and I assume you produced your first album in Vitkus there. Now, what has happened? Now, you were lucky enough to work with the multi-platinum producer and engineer Mark Berry. How did that happen?
He heard some of my music. He heard some of my tracks.
Okay.
You know, just stuff that I, demos that I was writing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been writing music since I was 12.
Okay.
I've been singing since I was 7, and then I actually started writing when I was 12. I've always used music to sort of get through my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So he heard some demos that I had, and he really likes them. And he called me up, and he was like, well, I'm a producer. And I was just like, yeah, okay, everybody's a producer.
Right.
But then, you know, I talked to my mom, and she was like, well, you know, look him up and see, you know, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
So I did. I looked him up, and I saw this amazing resume of people like David Bowie, Duran Duran, Tiffany, all these artists that I love. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, and then we started talking, and I went up to, I actually recorded the album in Toronto, Canada, because that's where he's based.
Hey.
And so I got to spend you know, a few weeks up in Canada and have a great time. We had an amazing time recording the album, and it was just so organic, and he captures what you're trying to emote and the feeling, and I just had a great time. He's an awesome guy.
What was the experience like recording the album? Was since it's your first album, was it everything that you expected it to be? Was it not what you expected it to be? What were the feelings going on doing the album, like the actual administrative part, the business side of it?
For the business side, it was what I expected it to be. My parents are both entrepreneurs. My mom owns a company, and they taught us to be very business-minded individuals when dealing with what we want to do. So even though I'm doing entertainment, I can't stress how important that is for everyone. Any entertainer, whether you're a writer, an actor, a singer, a songwriter, always have business on your mind, because that's what it is. It's a business. And I understand that you're doing it for the art, but whoever you're dealing with is doing it because it's a business. So you should treat it that way.
Oh, so I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that. I cannot stress that enough. And you know, you're just obviously such an intelligent young man to be able to say that at 22. A lot of people don't realize that until they're 42, 52, and it's too late. So thank you for saying that. Business first. It is a business. Now, at the record labels, it is a business to them. You are a number, I hate to say it. So you better start thinking of yourself as such. Get over yourself. You are creating dollar signs for them, and that's all they're interested in. The day that those dollar signs go from 4 down to 1, we got a problem.
Exactly.
So you were able to handle that, right?
Yes. Well, I fortunately, because my... be business minded. I had people in place. I have a lawyer in place, accountants, you know, and they looked over everything that I had. And they you know, they let me know this is good, this is not so good. This is this and this is that. And you know, and I can't stress that enough, that it's good for you to read everything, but it's also good to else read it, because especially a professional like a lawyer, because they can catch language that you don't understand,
right?
And that's really important. So
absolutely.
For me, when I was dealing with the business, it was what I expected, because my mother trained us very well, and this is how business works. And so it was what I expected it to be. And for me, I was just very fortunate to have that sort of thought process and training from her.
Exactly. So when you finished it and you first heard it for the first time, what were the feelings that went through your mind? And also, has it been, I know, of course, it was very exciting for you. And since you did the first album, what has happened since then as a result of the album?
So much has happened since the result of the album. After I got, when I was in the studio actually recording, I was so excited.
Yes.
And then when I heard it, I of course, am a perfectionist, and so is Mark Berry. So when I listened to the initial mixes, I would always have notes because I write all my songs. So I would always be like, oh, we need to add a guitar here, or, you know, a synth line here, or, you know, let's try this vocal effect here. You know, and I was very critical when I was listening to the initial mix. When I heard the final mix, I was so excited. And since then, I have toured, I've played live shows and festivals. I had my music video debut on Logo for my first single, Lost and Found. I have another video that's going to be coming on Logo, Castaway.
Oh.
I have a great fan base. I get emails constantly on my website or on my MySpace or my Facebook, and it was so surreal because I get these emails from people that are like, oh, I love you, and I'm like, who are you? And they're like... they're like, I'm a fan of your music. And I was like, you listen to my music? And
yeah!
It was such...
That's wild, huh? That's wild when you hear that. It's got to be amazing the first time. You're like, me? You actually are a fan? It's just surreal,
yes.
Isn't it?
It is. And then actually performing it live.
Yeah.
And when I performed it, when I performed my music live, because I was used to doing musicals and, you know, things like that, singing other people's music, and when I actually put on my show and performed my music, and people were standing and clapping, and I did autographs, I was like, shut up!
Oh my God, that
like,
must have been...
This is so surreal.
I know, I bet it definitely was, for sure. Now, we have 5 minutes, so I want to definitely play your song, and I think we might have to play it and close the show out. But before we go, do you have any upcoming events that you want to tell us about, or anything that you can, where we can see you? Now, you had mentioned Logo. I'm not familiar with that. Is that a website, logo.com, or something we can see your video?
It's a television network. You can go to logoonline.com.
Logoonline.com. Okay. And is your video on Facebook?
My video is not on Facebook. It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. Okay. So if we go to YouTube and we type Daniel Gray, we definitely can find your video.
Yes. Or you could just go to Daniel Gray World. I have everything on Daniel Gray World, my website.
Okay. DanielGrayWorld.com. I am going to friend you on Facebook.
Oh, yay. Awesome.
I am, so that you can see the comments about the interview. So I'm going to do that right after the show. So if you say, who the hell is Priscilla Leona? Who are you? It's me.
Hey, I know who you are. I'm such a fan.
I am like a true fan now, because you are rocking in my world. I think you are totally cool. You're upbeat. You're energetic. You're fun. You're what's happening. You, to me, you know who you are to me now? I'm going to tell you. You want to know?
Yes, go ahead.
You are my new Boy George, because Boy George is my favorite performer of all time. And you have that same upbeat, fun, energetic, happy-go-lucky feeling that I used to get when I would watch my Boy George. Now, I'm older than you. You know, you're 22. Boy George is like nobody to you. But let me tell you, Boy George was my world back in the day. So you are my new
Boy George.
Oh, I know
Boy George. Come a chameleon.
There you go. And we're going to come onto the song Castaway, which we're going to play right now. We're going to end the show. Thank you so much, Daniel, for being on the show. I love you. I want you to come back anytime you want next year. You want to come back on the show, you just call Stephen Levine of Grapevine Public Relations. You say, Stephen, I want to be back on Priscilla's show. Any kind of stuff that you got coming up, I want to know about it. You come back on the show, okay? Or I'm going to friend you. You can send me an email on Facebook, okay?
Definitely will. Thank you so much for having me. You were great, and I love your personality because you're so happy.
I love you because you're so happy, and you wait till I meet you and get a hold of you. You know you're going to be bouncing on my knee, boy.
No problem. I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Living without anything to eat. The city accepts defeat. Lives ruined and leaders don't skip a beat. Families are torn apart, chopped away with broken hearts. A nation left in the dark, and people don't know where to start. What do we say? We were cast away.
listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Do you need a website but don't think that you can afford one? Do you dread the thought of even doing the research to find a company that you can afford? Do you cringe because you know that the person you talk to will try to sell you more than the advertised price? At Design on a Dime websites, we pride ourselves in being able to design original, professional, efficient, creative, and extremely affordable websites. Your website design will load fast, be customized to fit your needs and vision, and be presented in a clear, concise, and easy-to-read format with user-friendly link navigation. We challenge you to find a company that has lower prices and better customer service with beautiful, original designs. So, gather some dimes together and call us today at 213-687-6903 or visit us on the web at designonadime.us for your personal consultation with a very friendly representative who will be able to give you a great website that fits your budget.